The following podcast is a B&E Network exclusive. Warning, this podcast contains strong language, which may be unsuitable for children, and stupid humor, which may be unsuitable for adults. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Welcome to the Shit Show.
Coming to you from the seedy underbelly of Omaha, Nebraska, where the claws are coming out tonight, it's the Debate Show! Yay! Welcome to episode 59 of The Basement on a Hill. We are a horror podcast. My name is Anthony King, and that's Kevin Buswell. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello.
And that's Trey Abel. Say hello, Trey.
Hello.
We're going to get to the rest of the introductions here in a little bit, but first, let me remind you guys to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Scary Shit Radio and on Facebook at The Basement on a Hill, and get your daily dose of horror by checking out our blog at thebasementonahill.wordpress.com. Now, let me explain to you what's going to happen tonight. We are joined by 2, 4, 6, 7 people, six of whom will be arguing and scratching and biting and poking and all that good stuff about horror movies. And so what's going to happen? They're going to come up 2 by 2, one party arguing in favor of a specific movie, the other party arguing against the movie. And then Kevin, Trey, and myself will be acting as judges. And then after each debate, a winner will be chosen. And so here's the format. Each person is going to get up to 2 minutes, a loose 2 minutes, for opening arguments, and then each person will get up to a loose 2 minutes for rebuttal. And then, of course, if more needs to be said or if judges have questions, we'll allow it because none of this actually matters. So we're just going to have fun, okay, guys? No tears. If you start crying, I'm going to kick you out of my house. Deal?
What if we lose, then? Can we cry?
No. No crying, Jeremy. All I ask is that we leave malice out of it, and if need be, to air your grievances on social media in a public forum setting like a normal human being. Okay?
Even now we have your darling Linda's soul. She suffers in torment.
You're going down. Chainsaw.
So, first up, two former guests of the show and professionals at doing this, right?
I don't know about that.
We don't get paid, if that's what you mean.
Okay. Well, Brenna, you have a show that does this.
Yeah, I have a show called Agree to Disagree. It's a comedy debate show. Very similar to this, except we have dumb topics like... what is it? I don't know. Think of a dumb topic.
I think I debated on your show once, wives versus knives.
Yeah.
Nice.
So those voices you're hearing are Brenna Grabo and Ryan De La Garza. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Now, all I have, it wasn't super specific what you two are going to be debating. Something about Evil Dead. Explain it to me.
I know a lot of people who like love the whole like franchise and all that stuff, but I've heard more people say that Evil Dead 2 is better than Evil Dead 1, which I totally disagree with. I like the first one much better than the second one, so that's kind of what we're debating.
You also hate Army of Darkness.
I hate Army of Darkness. I'm sorry, everybody.
I also want to interject that whether Kevin, Trey, or myself have seen these movies, like, I should tell you guys this. Be as unbiased as possible. Just choose whoever you think, whatever, the prettiest or the funniest. I mean, Ryan, obviously, Ryan. The prettiest. Mm-hmm. If you like super hairy things. Anyways. All right. Well, I guess, should I get a timer? I should get a timer.
Who do you want to go?
I mean, coin flip or I don't mind going first.
Okay, Ryan is arguing
on behalf of Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, really.
Gotcha. All right. Well, you have a loose 2 minutes starting now.
A loose 2 minutes. All right. Well, I don't dislike Evil Dead 1. Really, when we talked about our disagreement on these movies, it was that Evil Dead 1, the first Evil Dead, was silly, but only because the budget was low. And Evil Dead 2 was intentionally silly because it worked so well in the first one. Kind of like Tommy Wiseau being like, yeah, The Room was a joke the whole time, right? But we all know the truth. Because really, Evil Dead 1 is just as silly as Evil Dead 2, if not sillier. It's yeah, the budget's low, but the movie's fucking hilarious. Like, I was watching the movie. My roommate is in the other room, and there's, like, moans that last for, like, 30 seconds. And he came in, and he was like, are you watching, like, really weird violent porn? I'm like, yeah, kind of. I mean, it's as funny as. I mean, that's the thing. It is really funny. Linda, when she laughs, the character... Ash's girlfriend, when she laughs, it's like so overacted, and the overacting, I'm totally fine with it because they were all like 20, you know, and they're just, it's like their first movie. And one of my favorite things about it is that, like, it's, well, one, it's edited by Joel Cohen of the Cohen brothers before they even made Blood Simple, which is beautiful. Like, that's a a great pedigree. But, like, I will say one thing over Evil Dead, one thing Evil Dead 2 has over Evil Dead 1 is that there is way less misogyny in Evil Dead 2. There is misogyny in both, but the misogyny in Evil Dead 1 is regretted a lot by Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell, because A, the tree rape does not happen in Evil Dead 2, and B, Ash does not slap the shit out of Linda in Evil Dead 2. That's it. I'm conceding at that. Thanks.
All right. Brenna, you have a loose 2.
I don't, for the record, a loose 2 is just, I don't know.
We're going with it. We're going with it.
Okay, overall, I'm, like, not the biggest fan of the entire franchise, just in general. But I like Evil Dead 1 a lot better, and that's what I'm going to argue. Like, I feel like the whole, like, Evil Dead series is just, like, America is the only place where we would have a movie series that's just, like, let's write a story about books being evil and then... just an enormous chin with a chainsaw, like that's like the whole series. And I just, Bruce Campbell, if I wanted to see Bruce Campbell give the same performance over and over and over, I'd probably just watch Burn Notice. Okay, a couple people like Burn Notice. I mean, at least Burn Notice like tried to develop a female character at some point. I like some of the things that I don't really like. I mean, obviously the misogyny you brought up, like Ash's girlfriend only becomes interesting after she dies. Linda, she has a name. God damn it. But then obviously like the only like independent woman in the first movie gets raped by the fucking woods. And then like in the second one, the only interesting female character is fucking her cousin. Cause I thought I was crazy. I thought that I had remembered it wrong and that she was, that the guy she was with wasn't her boyfriend and also a relative. But then you looked it up earlier today and it said known relatives, whatever his name was, and then in parentheses, boyfriend. And I look, okay.
Jake and Bobby Joe.
All right, Ryan, your rebuttal.
Okay. The thing about the chainsaw, one thing that Evil Dead 2 definitely that I love is the hand chainsaw, because it doesn't come in Evil Dead 1. He does lose his hand, but he never puts the chainsaw on. That's one of the best weapons in, I think, horror movie history, maybe. I don't know. I'm getting too sentimental now. Evil Dead 2 has more of the fun quotes, you know, it is very cheesy, like when he says groovy and gotcha, didn't I, you little sucker. And I love both of those movies are like either unrated or NC-17, but I love that in an NC-17 movie in Evil Dead 2 he says blow your butt to kingdom come. Yeah. Evil Dead 1 has the independent woman you referred to. I love that she looks exactly like Jenny Slate. I don't know if
she does.
That's
yeah.
Just a fun little thing. And then
Jenny Slate with like those horrible bangs.
I do think that, because you were saying about the women like not developing female characters, the female characters are more developed in the second one. I think Annie is the daughter of the guy who found the Necronomicon, and she's like a really, she becomes like a huge character in that, and she kind of whoops some ass, but ultimately dies like everybody else, all the other women. Because I think of the,
we can never whoop ass as well as Bruce Campbell.
Well, it's the chin power. It's undeniable. And I love that in Evil Dead 2, like, it makes him into a weird Harlequin romance figure right at the beginning with the open chest bared to everyone. It's just like, oh, yeah, like, I did want to fuck him all along. I just didn't know it.
Oh, dear.
All right, Brenna, your turn for some loose twos.
Loose twos. One thing that I didn't like, I've seen obviously both of them, but like I don't know why I said that, but okay. So the second one, it felt like they spent more money on practical effects and like set design, but they just didn't bother to like write a new story at all. And we had this discussion earlier where I wasn't sure if it was a sequel or not. Like, I was like, is it a remake? Is it just a re-envisionment? Is it a sequel? And you told me it was a sequel. And the thing I don't like, a movie as dumb as Evil Dead 2 made me question my grasp of what a sequel is. And I don't like that at all. But, like, the progression of the movies, Evil Dead 1, I watched with interest and liked. Evil Dead 2, I sort of fell asleep during and never really wanted to revisit it again. And Army of Darkness, I fell asleep during and absolutely did not want to watch again. That's like the progression of the movies. And I think as in terms of cheesiness, Evil Dead 1 is Kraft mac and cheese. Evil Dead 2 is Velveeta. And Army of Darkness is just like cut up oven ready lasagna with like nacho cheese on top. Like, it's not, like, it's just trying too hard to be cheese. It's not real cheese. That's something I don't like. It's not genuine cheese. Okay. That's my point. That's my point. That's all I have. I'm sorry. All
right. Just stop. Stop it.
No.
Please stop. All right. I have a question for Brenna.
Okay.
Do you generally like horror comedies?
No. I liked Hannibal the Cannibal. Cannibal the Hannibal.
Cannibal the Musical.
Hannibal, yep.
Oh, Cannibal the Musical. The okay. You if you want, you can listen back. Ryan came on the show and we reviewed Cannibal the Musical. Plug for the show. Okay. Yeah. You're listening to the show right now.
I liked that. And then we watched Jennifer's Body, and that's kind of a horror comedy, and I liked that.
Got a lot of jokes in it. We watched The Final Girls.
That was okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's kind of, you're kind of cold.
I'm
on
iffy
him.
About
okay.
It, yeah.
Okay. Judges, any other follow up questions?
I love horror comedy. I mean, obviously, arguing for Cannibal the Musical. Wow. Like, well, I just had no one asking me anything. Fucking follow up. Jesus. Come on. Oh, all right.
Could you elaborate on the shirtless Bruce Campbell for just a little while longer?
Yeah. Well,
yes,
okay.
Please.
My main, like, it's great, but just like all of Evil Dead, it's not perfect. You know, it's great, but I could use a little hair. Give me some Burt Reynolds with your Fabio, you son of a bitch.
That answers all my questions.
Okay.
Kevin, any questions?
I answered all my questions.
All right. Well, did you guys, judges, do you have a winner in your mind? Yeah? Okay. Trey?
I'm going Ryan, Evil Dead 2. Less misogyny and more intentional comedy, which I thought was pretty good. Plus, the claymation garbage at the end is like one of my favorite things in a horror movie. So I got to side. Great debate, though. It was good.
Okay, Kevin, in your mind, and keep in mind, it's not the movie. It's the person. We're judging the person.
Gotcha.
Me, yeah, us personally. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Wait. You know what? Let me say, I'm going to say my winner is Brenna, just so you can be the tiebreaker.
Oh, thank you. Well, fucking
you,
A.
You can all be right. The asshole. I don't know, Brenna won. She just made more valid points. Sorry, Ryan. I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought we were supposed to make jokes and not be serious. Shit.
Well, okay. You're two comedians. Do you want me to say Brenna was funnier? Because she was. So that's why.
Thank you. That's all I wanted. Because I'm not a misogynist, unlike Brenna.
Wow.
Who likes Evil Dead 1.
Okay, Kevin, no pressure. Are you for misogyny or against it?
Wow.
We've already clearly been our lines very present.
You know, all my life, I knew I was going to come to this crossroads right here. I'm going to go with Brenna as well.
Hell
yeah. Another vote for men.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's a wash.
And yeah, that totally goes against my love for the films, because the two has always been my favorite of the two, but I just agree with you on a lot of your... You know, points.
The cheesiness.
Except for the your views of Army of Darkness.
Okay. I didn't think I was going to win anybody over with that.
Actually, I do not like Army of Darkness.
Thanks.
So
you are the first person I've ever met.
Next debate round right now.
Well, you know, I love Army of Darkness, but I do want to... I'm going to make an argument for Brenna against myself and against Trey. Because I do believe when you talk about the claymation ending, that's Evil Dead 1. The stop motion deaths?
No, the big giant monster.
Oh, the head? Of
Evil yeah.
Is that claymation? I just thought it was practical.
Like it.
Okay.
Puppetry, claymation. It was. It's
all right.
It's big
yeah. But the claymation ending is great of Evil Dead 1, even though it obviously used cream corn coming out of the arm and then Play-Doh coming out of the ear. NC-17, too much Play-Doh. I'm sorry.
I did almost come across for the cheese. It's ranking scale. Yeah. That was a very nice touch.
Those are the levels of cheese you can have.
All right, Brenna, as our first winner, you get to choose between a Lonely Estates koozie, Stephen King's Dreamcatcher.
I have it. Don't take it.
A download of my album, or a download of Kate Berrickman's Battle Scenes.
This is basically a choice between men or women.
That's true.
Anthony.
Well, I'm going to...
A band of men.
I'm going to go with Kate because you already gave me yours the last time.
Oh, that's true.
Here.
Okay, yeah. Well...
See, I'm not a dick.
All right. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Brian, you can have the Dreamcatcher book.
that you already have.
It could look like someone you know. Or it could be a stranger in a crowd. Whatever helps it get close to you. It can look like anyone. But there's only one of it.
Okay, our next debaters. You heard her before. It's Brenna. We're making her do every debate tonight, okay? that's what we're doing now. And then my... we hung out on...
Once.
Oh, New Year's Eve. Right? At Stephanie's house. Lawrence Hernandez, thank you for coming over.
My friends call me Hawk Camaro.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hawk Camaro.
That's a lie because I don't have any friends.
He calls himself Hawk Camaro.
I call myself that. Super
cool. And you two are going to be debating the movie It Follows. Brenna is for, Lawrence against.
I hated this movie.
You hated this movie. All right. Who wants to go first?
How about anybody that doesn't have an Agatha Christie tattoo?
I don't have an Agatha Christie tattoo.
But she
sorry,
has.
Sorry, did you mistake Nancy Drew
Christie?
Same fucking person.
Okay.
Same person.
Well, I'm fucking mad now. So
it could have been Sylvia Plath.
Oh my God.
Sylvia Plath did not write mysteries.
Still a woman, though.
Oh, good Lord.
Yes.
With words and books
and
shit.
Who wants the first loose two? That was good.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
All right.
Can I? Okay, here's. So I'm against. It Follows.
Correct.
I mean, I was on board with this movie when it first started. When it first came out, I was like, the hype is awesome. This is going to be a great movie. We started watching it. The director has atmosphere. The soundtrack is very John Carpenter-esque. It's an homage, which is another word for ripoff, basically. the camera work is great. The camera work was also very reminiscent of Evil Dead. if you watch the 360 pans and everything else. It started out as a good movie until the third act, when it fucking falls apart. I mean, the biggest threat to the characters in the third act is that they might fall in a plot hole and die. It was so horrible. But, like, I got notes because, you know, I have a full-time job and shit. So, this movie gets you to the point where it's like, it's rubbing your crotch and it's like, unbutton your pants. Your movie reaches into your underwear and pulls your cock out. And then it just, like, leaves you. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? Because it rolls around and this script took 10 days to write. It's very obvious. You can tell. And I'm sorry, I have to look at my notes.
Look away.
Yeah. But really, if you catch this this thing, you got time. You got time to fucking do things. This guy had time to find a chick on Tinder, take her out to the movies, wine and dine her, take her to the woods and fuck her in the back of his car, wheel her to some fucking remote place, tie her up, and fucking wait for this monster to show up, and then explain the whole plot of the movie to her. And then they just casually walk away while the monster's coming towards them. Hmm. I mean, it's not like Jason Voorhees, where if you're running and he's... That was my loose, too. It just all came out at once. It just...
All right,
water.
Brenna, your loose, too, starts...
Gross.
No.
Okay, so I think one of the things that I thought people would hate the most about this is the STD thing. And the other thing that I thought people would hate the most about this is the plot holes thing. And my argument for the plot holes thing is, if you hate plot holes, why the fuck do you watch horror movies? There are no horror movies that do not have plot holes.
That's good.
Yeah. But... point. Maybe you just don't like women? I don't know.
You can't use that twice. You used that in the last one.
No, you said it in the first very beginning of this argument.
I just got my women confused. That's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, because we're all the same. So, for the STD thing, I feel like no one in Omaha should be upset about the STD thing because we all have STDs. I stole that from Ryan. I'll give him that. But
one point for Ryan.
But the thing that I do like about it is, like, STDs are horrifying, but these are, like, normal people in this movie, and it's not like, oh, STDs only affect, like, crack whores and shit. Like, it's like STDs are everywhere. And I think a lot of people, like, didn't like the fact that it was, like, a female-led movie about STDs because that makes women look bad. But, like, the women in the movie were, like, pretty much okay, and the dudes fucking sucked. Every single dude in that movie sucked.
I agree.
Ass.
All these dudes were thirsty as fuck.
They were.
As soon as she got that it, they, like, wanted to fuck her.
Yeah, they were just like, yeah, you got an STD, let me have it. If, like, what is wrong with you?
If she had vag herpes, they wouldn't have touched her, but she's got an invisible monster in her pussy, and they're like, yeah, let me get in on that.
That's a little bit hot when you say it like that. But, like, that's, like, my point is, like, it's, you know... I don't remember what my point was now. Fuck.
Invisible pussy
Something
monster.
Woman hater.
Oh, fuck. Got derailed.
All right.
Title Invisible Pussy Monster.
All right, Lawrence, any rebuttal for yourself, sir?
I don't.
How come we can't get funding for our Invisible Pussy Monster?
Invisible Pussy Monster should have been. That'll be the subtitle of the next movie. You're right. It follows two Invisible Pussy Monster. But no, rebuttal, man. I don't think it was all against women, really. I mean, I know I sound like I'm against women, but I'm not. But no, they don't explain. The thing about the creature in It Follows is the whole logic behind the thing falls apart in the third act. They don't really explain a lot. It's very vague. It's very ambiguous. Like, if the dude was wearing a condom, does she get the it? Or, like, if he pulls out and finishes on her face, she still kind of get the it?
Is that what you were most worried about the whole
movie? Well, no. Once it fell apart in the third act, then you start to question every fucking thing else, and that's why I hated the movie. Because I was on board. I was like, man, this is a good movie. And then it just, like, well, what the fuck is going on now? And then I hated the whole movie, and I wanted to like it. I really did. But, yeah, I couldn't, and that's why I hate it. So.
I would just like to say that one could argue that Jason Voorhees is an STD as well. If you fuck, he's going to kill you.
He's going to kill you.
That's true. That's true. All right, Brenna.
Sorry. Is it
okay?
Yeah.
Speechless.
What is it? My time. Okay.
Yeah, you can talk.
One thing that struck me watching this movie that I really did enjoy was the fact that it was a horror movie, but it wasn't like tense throughout the whole movie. Like, I wasn't stressed out while I was watching it. There were just like moments of horror in between, like kind of long, like sort of almost relaxing moments. And another thing that I liked was that the main character wasn't like unreasonably thin. Like, she was like a person, and it was beautiful and fine, and it wasn't just like, oh, this is fucking Megan Fox. We're going to talk about Jennifer's body later. Anyway.
Spoilers.
But yeah, the only thing I really didn't like was that she got her casts wet so many times. Yeah. She was just always dipping her cast in the water. Bonner. I was like, that's got to be so dirty under there.
I'm giving that point to Lawrence. Lawrence gets that point.
You're welcome, Lawrence.
Well, no, and there's that one scene where she's like on the beach and she takes her clothes off and there's these dudes out in the boat. And then it just kind of stops there. You don't know if she swam out to the boat and she fucked all these dudes.
I'm pretty sure she did.
What kind of dude just fucks some chick that swims up? Did they think he was a
like
mermaid or something?
Like most dudes, most probably. Just like a broken-armed mermaid. Yeah.
I've been in a boat. I never had a naked chick swim up. And if she did, I'm not going to fuck that bitch. Her pussy probably smells like fish and shit.
Wow.
She could have said to me, I have AIDS. And I'm
But if she said she had an invisible monster in her pussy...
I want to see.
That's a hot mermaid.
I mean, like, is that a Heinlein book?
Also, this movie had really great poster art. I want to get that in before my time. It's really great.
Good font, good colors.
Yeah, that's all I have. All
right. Whoa. Good timing. All right. I just want to say that I need a breather. Just because It Follows was on my 10:35 last week's episode doesn't necessarily mean that Brenna gets my vote, but Brenna gets my vote.
No.
Anyone else? I didn't have any questions. I'm sorry. Any questions from you guys?
No questions. I can cast vote.
Okay.
Based on the argument of why watch a horror movie if you want to point out the plot holes, the poster art, and real female characters, Brenna.
Thank you.
Well done. She won. Kevin, do you have a vote?
Yeah, I'm with Brenna on this one too.
Yeah. Shut out.
Welcome to the basement, Lawrence. I'm sorry. I hope you feel welcome. All right. Congratulations, Brenna.
Thank you.
Woo. Do you want a koozie? A hand-painted police car CD, or a high-up EP. You get another prize. You won.
I want the high-up EP.
All right. There you go.
That's the tiniest IP of all time.
All right. Thank you both very much. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
If the human sacrifice is impure, the result may still be attained, but the demon will forever reside in the soul of the victim. She must forever feed on flesh to sustain the demon.
Okay.
She's eating boys. They like make her really pretty and glowy, and her hair looks amazing. And then when she's hungry, she's weak and cranky and ugly. I mean, like ugly for her. Don't you get it? The dance. It'll be like an all-you-can-eat buffet.
And next up, we have Ryan. He's back.
Oh, hi. Thanks.
Hi.
Excited.
And then Dave Owens, first time in the basement.
Hello. I'm here.
Thanks for coming over. I appreciate it. Dave is, tell us, you have a minute to tell us who you are.
Long story longer, I've been in the music industry here in town for a long time. I own Life 9 Productions. I was a concert promoter with Mark and Jim with 1% Productions. And I'm in the band Names Without Numbers. So
playing
that's
a
probably
show,
what you know me from.
Playing a show at the Lookout. When?
We'll be at the Lookout June 10th.
Oh, that's a long ways away. June 10th.
But don't forget, June 10th.
Don't forget.
There's plenty of time to clear your calendar.
Everybody write it down right now. Everybody listening to this, write it down. June 10th, names and numbers. Okay, so you guys are going to be debating Jennifer's body, and I want to preface this by saying this is the only one of the four that I have not seen. So you're actually trying to convince me. Mm. So don't be funny. Okay. No. So, Kevin, have you seen Jennifer's body?
Yes.
Dre?
I have.
Okay, great. Well, I'm the only loser. Have you guys seen Jennifer's body? Okay, thank God. So
we
good
could
luck.
Really sway the room tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really can.
Good.
Who?
It's all riding on us.
Who is gonna go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, Dave, your loose two starts now. Mm.
Well, first, it's called Jennifer's Body. I mean, I don't know if I really need to go much
Sold.
Further.
Point.
The main character, Jennifer? Her name is Needy Lesnicki. Needy Lesnicki. Do you want me to keep going, Ryan?
All you're doing are stating facts. Yes.
They're working, though. They're working.
Megan Fox. Her character name is just Jennifer. No last name, as far as I know. I could be wrong on this fact. This is just Jennifer. She is what's called a succubus. They prey on men, have sex with them, but in this movie, she eats them, which is wrong. They need to check their demonology facts. A succubus does not eat the flesh of their victims. First, and then. A rock band sells their souls to the devil to sacrifice a virgin so they can be famous. Spoiler alert, the slut of the high school is not a virgin. So cover earmuffs. And it doesn't work. It backfires. We can just leave it at that. Towards the end of the movie, Jennifer... She's flying in the air like a demon does, flying in the air above a pool.
Floating.
Flying.
It's not that impressive.
Levitating, if you will.
Side debate.
And Needy, Lesnicki, they're just having a conversation about who's vain in high school and how she's not, the demon is not relevant anymore. Just having a conversation, two 16-year-old girls. Terrible. Terrible. I don't know if we started off this conversation with the premise of I'm against the movie.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, the only redeeming part of this movie is that the band The Sword is part of the soundtrack.
I believe it's pronounced the S word.
The Sword. Yes. The Sword is part of the soundtrack.
All right. Ryan, I just want to say you have some work to do.
No, I don't.
Your loose two starts
I would
now.
Like to speak on behalf of all men and say that men are exhausting. Do you have children, Dave?
One.
What gender is your child? What is...
Female.
And how old is that child?
Six.
Okay, when that child is a teenager, are you just going to be so annoyed with her all the time because she's a human? Like, that whole movie is about the teenage experience of women who are friends. Like, that's
and
what
demons,
the whole...
I guess.
Yeah, it's... Dave's never heard of satire. satirical horror movies exist. Jennifer's Body is a funny one written by a woman, Diablo Cody. I'm a fan of Juno, and I'm a fan of her book, Candy Girl, A Year in the Life of an Unlikely Stripper. And I think that the wit she brings and her experience, it's like when a guy who's been in the army, it's like Catch-22, writes a book about the army, except it's a woman who was a stripper writing about being a woman. It's the same thing. She's been through some shit, Dave. That's all I'm saying. I think that the jokes in this movie are like above most horror movie jokes. Like, there's only one bad line, and it's delivered by Dauber from Coach. And it's only because he's Dauber from Coach. He has to be funny just being a human. He can't do a joke. One of the best lines in the movie is right before Amanda Seyfried stabs Jennifer, whose last name is Check, in the heart. And her name is Anita, not Needy. Needy's her nickname. And that is also a satirical pun. Anyway... right before she stabs her in the chest with a box cutter, she goes, "You know what this is?" And she's talking about the box cutter. "You know what this is for?" And Megan Fox's character Jennifer says, "No," and she or what? And she goes, "It's for cutting boxes." And then she fucking stabs her. That or well, she tries, but that's the best pussy joke in any movie I've ever heard. That's the best like you're a pussy ass bitch joke. And she, you know what? She's like you call her a slut, Dave, but like she just likes to fuck. What's wrong with that?
And time. She just likes to fuck.
It's don't true. We all, Dave?
All right, Dave.
You also cannot trust a box cutter. In all senses.
Oh, 9/11.
It's true.
Never.
-1 point. All right, Dave, your rebuttal? If you have any.
I like facts. I'm going to go with the facts because they're the truth. I don't know if you know this, but Chris Pratt is actually in this movie.
Really?
For about maybe two to ten seconds. And then he dies. You don't kill Chris Pratt. Come on.
He's the Star-Lord.
Come on.
He's the Star-Lord.
He is the Star-Lord. You don't kill Chris Pratt. I had some notes here. Let's see here. Yep, those are pretty strong points I have on my notes. flying succubus demons, not relevant in high school anymore. Not a virgin. I think we talked about that. Came back to get them. So I really don't have much to say other than... It's terrible. Oh, and all the editing errors in the movie. Don't even get me started on editing errors. Hair behind the ear for 1 second, and then the hair in front of the ear the next second.
Just ruined.
Come on.
It's hard being a woman, Dave.
It's true. And what do they call the moon? There's like, when they sacrifice the woman, we'll call her the woman. The moon was a crescent moon, but the terminology they used for the moon is actually a growing large moon.
So I believe that's moon, the second.
They need to get their facts straight. Fact checker on Jennifer's body. Although I liked Jennifer's body. The end.
Wow.
Well done. All right, Ryan.
I'm gonna take the rest of Dave's time. I do. There are some like problematic moments in this movie. There's one point where Jennifer comes in and Amanda Seyfried's character, whose name is Anita, is with her boyfriend Chip. And she walks in and she goes, she's like, it smells like Thai food in here. Have you guys been fucking? Which, yes, that's problematic. And she also uses the phrase at one point, retard math. Let me ask, Dave, what's your band called again?
Names Without Numbers.
Exactly. At the very beginning of the movie, Chris Pratt says I'm glad he dies. I think he deserved to die because he was a cop. But he just kidding. But he's making fun.
Here we go.
He's making fun of the band, and he goes. They look like a bunch of Faygos. It's just the best ICP diss of all time because they are wearing eye makeup.
That's a good line. Good line.
In the bar. Like right after this happens, Jennifer goes and buys a round of shots, and it's a 9/11 tribute shot. And it's a red, white, and blue drink in a tall glass. And as she's carrying it over, she looks at it disappointedly, and she's just like, "Oh, Tower One isn't full enough." I love that joke.
There's an editing error in that.
I love
scene
that joke. I'm sure. Just like Evil Dead, which it still managed to be great. Just like Jennifer's body still managed to be great. The editor was probably a man. Okay, so he does at one point, the guy who played Seth in the OC, whatever, the guy in the band, the emo guy, and they sound like Brand New, which is a perfect band if you want to have like portray a shitty band in a movie. Like, yeah, let's make him sound like Brand New. Shitty emo. Perfect. He calls Jennifer the State Fair Butter Princess. And he's like, I know that girl. I know the State Fair Butter Princess, which one time I tried to refer to somebody as the pork queen, and the joke didn't go over very well. So, anyway, thanks.
Oh boy, this.
We won't even get started. We won't get started on the band van.
All right, questions from you guys. You have any questions?
Please.
What? Okay, so as someone who's never seen this before, Let's just talk performances. Let's start with Dave. Dave, how were the performances in this? And specifically Dauber.
MOON.
That's a great moon. Question.
Oh my God.
Is that his line?
Yes. No, that's from the
that's
stand.
Okay.
That's pretty much Dauber, though. That's pretty much every character.
I mean, I think the performance is really probably about as good as they could get in a movie called Jennifer's Body. So,
Megan Fox owns this movie.
It's her first leading role.
I think she's fantastic. Yeah. As
like, are you being for real though?
I really am. Okay. I do. One of the things I love about this movie is that you have a female villain and a female hero. And even the female hero, everybody's flawed. Like that's right. A great character to portray. Because even you know how in a good screenplay your hero has a save the cat moment.
Right.
Yeah. Literally in the first 5 minutes of this movie, Amanda Seyfried, our hero, kicks a black woman and spits in her hair. That's her save the cat moment. I'm like, all right,
flawed.
Wait a second. I only know that Jennifer's the villain because the first time they show her, there's a Fallout Boy poster in her bedroom.
That's true. But Needy's, she's got a little bit of demon in her.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's.
That makes you do crazy things.
Well, but I mean, like, everybody has flaws in this movie because the dudes want to fuck. Even Amanda Seyfried's boyfriend gets quickly fooled by the quote-unquote succubus and is willing to fuck Jennifer within like a minute.
That's true.
And yeah. I mean, yeah, I would too, but everybody's flawed. I'm sorry, sentimental again. It's just my nature. I love this movie.
I mean, that's the only question I had. Any questions from you guys?
No questions.
No? Okay.
Nope.
Okay, so toughest one so far.
That's good.
Because you haven't seen it, or
because they were both equally hysterical. I don't care about the movie.
My facts might have sold this movie in a good way, though. Like really.
Are you gonna watch this movie, Anthony?
I'm gonna watch this movie.
For the box cutter joke alone.
Well, I'm gonna watch this movie because
that is a good one. That's a good joke.
Because Dave sold it as trash, and I really want to see trash. So Dave is my winner.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Ryan. I'm sorry. Anybody have Ryan as a winner so we can keep the suspense on?
He made you want to watch the movie.
I have Ryan as my winner. A few notes. You talk about how good and witty Diablo Cody is, but then you also shit talk like the Chris Pratt stuff, but she wrote that too, so you kind of counteracted yourself. I hate this movie. It's one of my least favorite horror movies, but you had a lot better facts and the Fallout Boy dig. Bam. You got me good, and I liked that so.
I think the Faygo joke is really funny. Like, I really, that dialogue is great. I was saying, like, she killed him, I think, because he was a cop, because it was just like, oh, even cops in a serious situation where a building is burning aren't going to do shit for you.
Yeah. He died in the fire.
Yeah.
He died in the fire.
I thought you were insulting it, so I guess you didn't counteract it. But Dave, I think you had a solid framework for the argument. I really enjoyed that. So Ryan's got my vote, though.
I tried.
So.
All right, Kev?
Yeah, Ryan's got my vote, too.
Oh.
This is actually one of my least favorite horror films, too. I don't like this movie. I
you guys hate this movie, but you picked the guy that likes
it.
That's
yeah.
So interesting. I mean, what do you like about it, Kevin?
I think the whole thing's fucking stupid.
How is it different from so many movies that are led by men? I really think that this is a core comedy that's strong, and it just is the only difference is strong female characters.
I don't like Dead her, serious. Like, the Cody's, like, insistence to use, like, really, like, fake hip like new age slang like Blogosaurus
Rex. Do you like Mean Girls though?
Yeah, kind of.
Mean Girls is great, and I think that it's the same kind of.
But
do you like Heathers?
Smarter. I haven't seen Heathers since I was
Heathers.
A kid.
Heathers
so
is one of my all time favorite movies, and it's the same exact Heathers and Mean Girls. Same thing. Like they're
Fair.
Inventing new language that's dumb, and even in Mean Girls, they're like, "Quit trying to make fetch a thing." It's the same exact thing. Where like at one point, Jennifer is making fun of Chip, and she's telling him that he's jealous, and she's like, "No, you're Jello. You're lime green Jello, and you don't even know it." And I love that. It's like no one's ever said that. I say that all the time now because
we voted for Ryan, and he's
Ryan, calm down. You won
just because we don't like.
I will die for this movie.
I do want to see this movie. The clips that
the band
I watched
was called Low Shoulder.
Yeah, I know. Come on. And I were watching this, and it wasn't until they showed the logo of the car
low
dipping.
Shoulder.
I was like, but it's not any.
And they were discovered on MySpace.
Then Drive Shaft. Sweet.
MySpace.
Yeah, from right. Boss. So, yeah. Come on. Shitty car band.
Drive Shaft is worse than Low Shoulder.
The clips I was watching, because I'll play a clip before we introduce you guys on the show. The clips I was watching, it looks really funny. Amanda Seyfried has some really funny dialogue, and as told by my 1035, like, I love horror comedies, so you know I do want to see this. So well done, congratulations.
Thank you.
Ryan. Dave,
thank you.
Dave,
thank
you.
Yeah,
had
very
my
much.
Vote. I tried.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Ryan, Handpan Police Car or my album?
You know what, I'm gonna get your album from Brenna, and I would love to listen to Handpan and Police Car because they play the Lookout Lounge all the time, and
that's
I've never
right.
listened to them.
It's yours.
Cool. Thank
it's
you.
Yours.
Is your time so empty?
No. Well, I run the office and tend the cabins and grounds and do little errands for my mother, the ones she allows I might be capable of doing.
Do you go out with friends?
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
And finally, we have returning. He's been gone for a long time. We've missed him. Jeremy Johnson.
It's good to be back.
Thanks for coming. And you heard him last week on 1035 over voicemail. Charlie Reed, thanks for being here. Now, you guys are... Charlie's crazy.
I will say that me and Rob had our favorite, like the same top.
That's true.
Horror movie in the last 35 years. So I don't think I'm that crazy.
So the movie they are debating, believe it or not, is the original from 1960, Psycho. Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. Which one is against it, Charlie?
Yes.
And Charlie, I'm going to make you go first because I am so curious as to hear. Now, Judges, I just went like unbiased, completely unbiased, okay? Everybody in the world besides Charlie loves Psycho, right?
I don't hate Psycho.
Situation.
Okay. So I just want to make sure we're all going in. Like, get it out of your
Charlie
head. Pretend you
actually love Psycho. I'm trying to
pretend.
Subterfuge.
Pretend you've never seen this movie before. So, Charlie, your Loose 2 starts now. I'm very curious. What do you have to say?
Okay, sure. So my basic premise isn't so much that I hate Psycho, because it's a good film. It's a really good film. My problem with Psycho is that it is the one film that Alfred Hitchcock is known for above all else, and that disturbs me on a very deep level because I feel like there's so much of his canon that gets overlooked because of that.
And birds.
I do like the birds. Okay.
Birds.
No. Hey, you'll have your time. So saying that
I'm banking my time.
Saying that Psycho is Alfred Hitchcock's best film, which is what a large number of people do, is the same thing as saying that Stanley Kubrick should be best known for The Shining. Cuz that's his most popular film. I mean, arguably, that's his most popular film, but then you're skipping over a number of, I feel like, his other great films. And the problem, also, I feel, is that, as we were talking about earlier, Jeremy, that Hitchcock had this really nice progression up until Psycho, and then, you know, if you want to count The Birds, but then it tanked. Like, Psycho was the one film that he could never get past because it was the film that everyone held his standard to after the fact, and I feel that's really unfair because I think he had so much great stuff beforehand. And the other thing that I really like, I really like Psycho. I feel like it's so much, it's unfair to place that as like his greatest film. Because I mean, really, if you want to point to Psycho as his greatest film, it's what's it looked to? It's looked to as a film that really teased the audience, that really hooked the audience, that had a great sort of theatrical aspect to it. But then by that measure, like, then Blair Witch and Paranormal Activity should be like regarded as some of the greatest films of all time based off of their ability to hook the audience and really engage them in the theater going experience, so to speak. And also, name, okay, so anyone that has seen Psycho, or maybe even not seen Psycho outside of the 1960s, all they remember is the shower scene. They don't remember how Marion Crane even got to the Bates Motel or what happened afterwards.
I'm so glad you said Marion Crane. I completely forgot her fucking name. At the buzzer, the whole time I'm like, please say her name. Please say her name. Please say her name.
Sorry.
It'd be okay to ask. We would dog you for it, but all right, Jeremy, your opening statements, your all loose right. two starts now.
All right, I'm gonna bring this to your arena, Charlie. I'm gonna fight intellect with intellect here. So, motherfucking facts and motherfucking figures. Got my notes here. Okay, humanity is divided into two categories: people who love Psycho. And people who don't know they love Psycho. Based on the novel Push by Sapphire, Psycho chronicles the depraved goings-on of a murder hotel run by Peeping Tom, who soon thereafter becomes a Stabbing Tom. Sound familiar? Hint, this is the plot to every Chuck Palahniuk book and the Quran, I'm pretty sure. Based on the popular Disney attraction, Psycho was filmed with the budget of the director's plasma, but grossed more than most teenagers that year. Speaking of the director, Fred Leachcock most insisted on having moms on the set at all times. In fact, the cinematography, the score, and the movie were all done by moms, as per Leachcock's dedication to the film's maternal creepiness. After directing Psycho, later to become the masterpiece known as Gus Van Sant's Psycho. the director, Fred Hitchcock, went on to invent the hot lunch and founded the band Outkast. And still to this day, Hitchcock concedes that Psycho is his second most artistically fulfilling work, second only to that of the hot lunch. That's why Psycho voted OliveGarden.com's most titular film.
Perfect timing. I'm
sorry, I have a loose two. I have 20. I have one more sentence.
He's still going.
It remains the film's least racist thing in all of America.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right.
What's my rebuttal against it again?
Yeah. Well, you know, Charlie, okay. You can.
You're in a pickle now, sir.
Oh yeah. That's exactly what I'm in.
Okay.
An Olive Garden pickle. So it's my time. Okay.
It is your time.
So, subterfuge. Speaking of Psycho. So yes, there's a lot of elements of Psycho that I think people rightly point to as being very excellent, but I feel like Alfred Hitchcock did so many of those things prior to Psycho, it was just the first time people paid attention to them. In films by like North by Northwest, Shadow of a Doubt, Vertigo, Strangers on a Train, Rear Window, and Rope, in terms of ideas of like character acting, suspense, plot twists, it's just those are the things that I feel like were so prominent in his other films, and Psycho kind of, yes, they brought them all together, but I still not as prominently as some of these other ones. And really, I mean, also Psycho was really kind of promoted for its like focus on voyeurism, but so was Rear Window. Like Rear Window did voyeurism so much better than Psycho did, in my mind. And then kind of my big kind of crux is, so the argument is that Psycho influenced horror films from that point on. And it is super popular among horror directors, right?
And so, the end. Stop there.
No.
It's perfect.
No, because if you actually ask horror directors what their favorite Hitchcock film is,
Blair Witch.
Psycho does not show up on that list very often. John Carpenter, favorite film, Vertigo.
Hasn't seen
William
Psycho.
Friedkin, North by Northwest. David Cronenberg, Rear Window. David Fincher, Rear Window. These are directors that have done some amazing work, especially in the horror genre, and Psycho is not on their list. And then Oxo, if you... All right, I'm done. Or can I?
Yeah, you got to lose
right,
two.
Cool. Lose two. All right. So the other thing that I would say is Psycho is also argued as one of the most influential films because of how it's influenced horror films. I'll give it that. But if you want to look at the Hitchcock film, that's probably influenced more a wider range of films and better films.
Your two's getting super
hey,
loose, bro.
Hey. You were talking about pickles and Olive Garden, so stop it.
Stop it.
If you look at a lot of the films that have come after that in terms of like things like Panic Room, Blue Velvet, Mulholland Drive, Blow Up, The Conversation, they're not pulling from Psycho. They're pulling from Vertigo and Rear Window. So my core argument, again, is that Psycho, good film, not Hitchcock's best film, which is why I think it's overrated.
Well done. All right, Jeremy. Do you actually have rebuttal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay. You don't have your script out, so
No. I read all the things I put on my. Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Psycho took everything that was awesome and memorable about Hitchcock's previous films and put it all in one awesome film for half the budget that those costs, and with a more genuine spin. I mean, like the 55 milliliter lens he shot with fluid. No, the 50 millimeter lens he shot with a 35 that he used for Rear View, that was, I think, better used in Psycho. The forced perspective and practical effects from North by Northwest, I think, was better in Psycho. And, what were some other things you said? and not racist. Okay, I'm good.
All right, that's it. Well done. Stop. Stop. Oh. It's a pretend. Okay. All right, I have some follow-up questions. Charlie.
Yes.
What's your favorite Hitchcock film? What's your favorite Kubrick film?
Favorite Hitchcock film? Probably Rear Window.
Okay.
Yeah, probably Rear Window.
Kubrick?
And favorite Kubrick film? I would say that the one that stands out to me is probably A Clockwork Orange.
Okay. Jeremy, what's your favorite Leechcock film?
Rope.
That's an Alfred Hitchcock film.
Oh. Romp. It's like Rope, but a little more fun. It's a March release. Had some animation in it.
Rope was enjoyable.
Spring release. All right, and Charlie, you seem pretty passionate about voyeurism. Tell me about that.
I'm not passionate about voyeurism. I am passionate about the fact that
voyeurism exists.
No, okay. So
I'm sorry, your time is up.
But no, so if voyeurism is the one of the crux themes of Psycho, correct? That you're viewing Marion Crane as Norman Bates through the hole, and he's kind. You could even argue that he almost kind of wants to be Marion in a certain respect, right?
Right.
I feel like Rear Window does that to the nth degree, and it does it in a way that I feel speaks more to what our current culture experiences than what Psycho does. So that in terms of a film that really made just years apart, what speaks more to kind of this whole idea of like channel changing and kind of this single serving experience of looking at other people and trying to live through their experiences, Rear Window stands the test of time a lot better than Psycho does.
Also, Rant did that pretty good, the Polonic book.
Jeremy, are you a voyeur?
Rant. Don't get me started on Rant.
Jeremy, are you a voyeur?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I think it's hard not to be these days.
We're all voyeurs.
Interesting. Tell me more about that. No, don't tell me more. All right. I know who won. What about you? Kevin, who's your winner? Any questions I should ask first? between you two? No questions. Okay. Kevin, who's your winner?
I'm going to go with Charlie. Yeah.
His name's Charlie.
Charlie here.
I almost won because he didn't know his name.
Oh, yeah. He almost did. Is the argument about whether or not Psycho is a good movie?
That wasn't the argument.
No, it was overrated. He was saying overrated.
Overrated. And then I totally agree because, I mean, my favorite Hitchcock film is also Rear Window, and then that's immediately followed by Northwest. And I like Psycho. I think it's great. To be honest with you, I think Psycho 2 is better than the first one. That's opinion. But
I agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is very overrated in terms of people's perception of it being the greatest Hitchcock film. So yeah, I'd go with Charlie.
Okay, Trey.
Charlie. I like that you tweaked the framework of the argument not to be whether or not it's a good movie or the best whether or not that it's overrated. That was super smart.
Yeah,
because it's hard to argue against it, but right. You found a way to do it, and I thought that was good.
I'll give a vote to Jeremy, but my real vote goes to Charlie.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean. Jeremy, you were really funny.
Thanks for that charity.
But I agree.
I don't think I've ever seen Psycho.
Rear Window is my favorite Hitchcock. And I do like that argument that I think Psycho, I feel really horrible saying it. Psycho is overrated. It's still, it's one of the greatest films of all time. Anyways, congratulations, Charlie. Well done, you guys. Yeah! Well done. Charlie.
Movie fights.
You're stuck with my album, so it's yours.
It's good.
All right. Well, that's it, you guys. Thank you so much. We're going to wrap things up after these brief messages.
Man, okay, yeah. So we live in like the ghetto. It's like rough. They're just gangsters and shit. We have to keep all the windows closed.
Podcast makes us no money. We can't move.
There's a shootout going on regularly.
Why do you say shit like that? why does he say shit like we live in the ghetto and there's shootouts regularly? Just for the clarity of the podcast, there's not.
Two versus three, Nerds with Beers and Opinions.
A weekly podcast hosted by Cody, Kyle, and Greg.
New episodes every Thursday at bmoviesandebooks.com.
All right, good job, everybody. You guys did. Jeremy, Charlie, you did well. You wrapped it up. You guys, were you guys the last ones?
Yeah, the last ones.
Okay,
yes.
You did well. Yeah, it's not like we did these messages and then came right back. So thank you all so much, judges. Well done. It was easy, right? We just had to sit here and listen.
Yeah,
to
right. Yeah, that was the easiest show ever. Nice. Yeah.
And now Kevin has a shitload of homework.
Yeah.
Back to the homework.
I do. Now, not as much homework as the last week's, but...
You still have 10 movies to come up with.
Yeah.
You guys are doing five double features of these?
Yeah. Charlie, are you going to do a double feature? Are you coming up with one?
Yeah, I've just got to figure out. Okay, so any genres, correct? Like any? Well, or is it be horror? I mean, it would make sense.
Genre. It has action, western, sci-fi, horror, thriller.
Sure.
You know,
I will come up with one.
Okay, Jeremy.
Is it Vertigo and Rear One?
Yes, no. Anthony.
Are you gonna come up? You want to do a double feature?
Do I want to? I mean, I posted on Facebook my favorite double feature that I went to was The Raid and then Cabin in the Woods. And Ooh. Then I was just like, well, I don't ever need to see movies again.
Yeah. I saw The Raid and Dread back to back.
Ah, that's pretty good, too. That's kind of like the same movie.
It is.
This is an outro. It's
a great double feature.
All right, what does everybody have going on? Jeremy, you have a new book, Constantine?
Constantine Johnson, Pet Exorcist on Kindle and soft cover through Amazon.com and probably bookstores. I don't know. But definitely Amazon.
Amazon.com. Constantine Johnson, Pet Exorcist. Yeah, I'm halfway through.
Cool.
I just, the time, man. It's like, oh, I have 5 minutes. I'm going to read Jeremy's book.
Last 50 pages.
Yeah, why the hell not? Yeah, easy read.
Yeah.
Funny. Good stuff. Anything else? Charlie, you doing homework?
Homework? Well, if people are a part of a university system and they have access to any sort of you know, ability to get through academic journals.
Check and check.
Last year? No, it's 2017 now. So a year and a half ago,
Your time is running out.
I wrote a academic paper about the Resident Evil game.
What?
Which is pretty cool.
Okay, Can you expand upon that. You have a literal 1 minute. I want to hear about this real quick.
So I wrote a paper that basically looked at the original Resident Evil video game as an example of it's a rhetorical critique of the game and how they set up the infrastructure of the game only to then subvert it in order to kind of create a horror response.
Oh, interesting. Very cool. All right, next week, it's the Horror Exam number 11 featuring Sean McCarthy, Dan Stewart, and she's back, Trility Wade. Dan texts me, says, who else is playing? I said, oh, Sean and Trility. And he goes, okay, so my kids can't listen to it?
Right? Because it's going to get foul.
It's going to be wet and dirty. So thank you everybody for participating. I hope feelings weren't too hurt. Okay?
I feel good.
Okay, good. I'm glad you feel good, Jeremy. That's it. We're done. Thank you to Kevin, Trey, Ryan, Brenna, Charlie, Jeremy, Lawrence, and Dave. Did I forget anyone? Our theme music was Ghosts of Emery by Donnelly Family Reunion. Head to the basement on hill.wordpress.com for your daily dose of horror. You guys can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Scary Shit Radio and on Facebook at The Basement on Hill. You can listen to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Tune in next week as the competition continues and three more guests battle over Universal Monsters trivia. That's your clue. Remember, a mental mindfuck can be nice. See you next week. Go Cubs!
Is part of the B&E Network, brought to you by bmoviesandebooks.com.